This is CliffCentral.com.
Yabby! Hello! It's another one of those really great days. Welcome to it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is CliffCentral.com and the Unplugged Radio Show. Unplugged and in charge. That's what we are. We take charge and we are indeed in charge of making things happen for ourselves. And thank you very much for tuning in. And I'm not alone. I'm always here with some of the gentlemen that started this with me from the ground up. I'm talking about Simpiwe Pedros.
Yeah, what up?
Yeah, bro. And Lesego Mapanga.
What's going on?
Yeah, man. So it's another one of those really great days. It's December, papi. The December times are finally here. I'm hoping ukuthi awuphetonga hi December. Maybe it's like, you know, it's this disease that comes on to people. It's like, ki December, boss. You know what I mean?
Zonke izinto ezirongo ngoDisemba. Zonke izinto ezirongo ziright ngoDisemba.
Hey, madoda. Ziright, girls.
It's gonna be real, dog, yo.
Oh my gosh. All right, cool stuff, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're gonna have a couple of really great things that we're talking about today. We actually got a flame of a lady backstage. She's gonna be joining us pretty soon. And yeah, you might have seen her on the TV streets and maybe even on the Twitter streets and all the other streets that are out here as well. So she's going to be with us. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things around relationships and social media.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, like you said, right? We want to talk about things that are unrelated to the people. So yeah, we're trying to get these guys outside of their comfort zones.
Yeah.
We're going to try to really pick their brains. And we're going to make sure it's unscripted and it's really, really going to take charge.
Yeah. And unplugged. That's the most important thing.
That's
right?
The most important thing.
Yeah. So I see you just opened up a Destiny Man magazine there. Like, you just got the new ones. When are we being on the cover, guys?
You know what? I think it might happen sooner than you think.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, you gotta speak these things into life, right?
So speak, I mean, these things into life.
On,
yeah,
on the cover now we have, who's this guy? This is Sisa Ngebulana. Yeah? Mm. Building the billion rand group brick by brick.
Yeah, one day it'll be us. That's all I have to say.
That's all that matters.
In 2017.
One day.
Me, I declare 2017.
Yeah, yeah. 2017.
The real thing. 2017. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen 2017.
Okay, cool.
Let the world know. Let the world know that we said it. Like,
challenge accepted. Yeah. Okay, cool, guys. What are some of the highlights of the week? Simpiwe, I see you got a new hairstyle. It's really out there. I've never seen you with this type of hairstyle before. When I saw it, I thought, yo, listen, Simpiwe is gone. He's gone. This fame thing has gotten to him, my son.
You foolish, dog. You foolish. So I walked into the barber last week and I was telling Lesego that our barber's back because he's been gone for like the past 7 months.
And he's the best barber in the world.
The best in the world.
Full
and
stop.
So like, wow. I walk into the barber, I'm like, you know what, Mike? I want something different. He's like, okay, no, I got exactly what you need. And that's not even the highlight of my week. You know, the haircut's fresh, but my highlight of my week is that the guys at the Gusto Project actually made a cartoon of me.
Oh, yeah?
So there's like a 40-second cartoon of me and doing what I do. And it's quite interesting. Like, I always wanted to be, always wanted a cartoon version of myself. And these things are happening, bro. Like, it's very interesting. I actually just tweeted it out with the hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. So check it out. That's my highlight of the week. What's happening your side, LSG?
Yo, what's been happening this week? So let me just give you a background, right, to my week. So yesterday I woke up in the morning. As I wake up, I look at my cell phone transactions, 10K out of my account.
Yo.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean, 10K out of your account?
I mean, 10K. I mean, it was a fraudulent account. So
what?
Someone in China was like, yo.
And he took 10k of your money.
10k out of my, and this is like the third time it's happened to me this year.
Wow.
So I mean, I've changed my cards, I think, about 4 or 5 times, because like twice I think I lost my card, right? But then the other 3 times was fraud.
Lesego, who do you bank with again?
No, I don't have to mention that. This is crazy.
Yeah, so you know, I call the guys up, they're like, 6 days. So you know, sometimes, like, it's 2016, guys. So it's going to take them 6 days.
It's actually quite
bucking. Because it's going to take them 6 days. I hate, it's such a long process. It's going to take them 6 days, right, to investigate, right? Mm. And now they investigate, then it's probably like another 6 days.
Wait. So in this process of 6 days investigation, you have no money.
No, like, I got plenty of money.
No, I don't mean you. I mean, they don't bring back your money while they're investigating. Now, imagine that. December.
It's nice.
Fresh. You know, everything is. Girls is befanbazi, right?
Yeah.
Everything was supposed to be fine.
And
no one's going to believe you, dog.
Yeah.
Like, we were all gazetting and we knew that the field trip was coming. Then you're like, guys, 10K is out of my account. I don't even know how it happened. My money's gone. I'd be like, ah, come on, Lesejo. You could have come up with something better. It's a Chinese man who took my money last night. And you're like, yeah, dog.
So what happened? Like, I was so worse, annoyed.
You're having a date. You knew you had money in the beginning of this date. It's good. You let her decide what to get. You know, she's like, Funi Moet. And then Moet.
And that's exactly how it's pronounced.
You know, then Moet comes, you know, there's caviar, you know, the right things in life, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, as you look at your phone, an SMS comes through, fraudulent account. 6 days investigation. Is she going to believe you? Like, imagine that. She's like, you say, listen, the way my account's set up, I have a lot of money. It's just that it's froze right now because some Chinese man took my money. She's like, yeah, dog, listen.
And especially
I gotta go.
And especially in the world we live in, you know, we live in a world where you're having nice times with a girl, you're posting on social media, so the whole world will know.
Yeah, like just before the bill came, she took a picture and put it on Instagram.
Yay, dog.
You know how they take those pictures of the food and it's like, ooh, this is what I'm eating today.
Mm.
And then they take a picture of you, but then they put that big smiley face around your face like, I ain't showing his face until he pays Lobola.
Yo,
so I'm going to break it down. So basically that happened, right?
Tragic, out of my car.
But it's been a hectic week. I haven't been sleeping. Like, you know, thing you know,
I can kind of see your face that there's something that says you haven't had much sleep.
I've been a proper tired man. But it's one of those things, you see, there's being tired, right?
Yeah.
And then there's being tired because you're doing a lot of good stuff, like you're moving forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that type of time, but I haven't slept in like two
but
let's
say we're staying in like a 5-star hotel at the same time. Like,
hey, we work hard for these
things. He's tired, but he's got the 5-star treatment all day, every day.
But I had so many things, so many deliverables all at once.
Yeah.
But I got through all of them. They all went off smoothly. It was beautiful. So I think on a corporate note, I ended off nicely.
Yeah.
So
actually,
I think now I'll just...
What I want to zoom into is that, Simpio, you were talking about your barber's back.
And yeah.
You then went on to describe him as the best barber in the world.
Yeah.
I think he's doing something right in his business.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in his business, it seems that you guys, you know, have this really close connection with this barber. Like, almost... abnormal in a way. I mean, I heard you were mentioning that he got a new kid.
Yeah,
he was
a new kid.
He's about to get married.
Yeah. He's gonna get married. He went home. Where does he come from?
From Ghana.
He went to Ghana because his mom passed away. You guys know too much about this barber. It's as if
he's
a celebrity barber in a way.
And you know what? Hey, if someone was asked me like, what does he do differently?
Yeah.
He does the basics right.
Mm. He's just himself.
Genuine, nice guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Simpio's right. He's authentic.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
You know, some people just do, like, just a barber because they need money. Like Mike, he actually, you know, he makes sure that you look good.
Yeah.
He has a vested interest.
I don't even want to say where we cut our hair because now I'm worried that the floodgates are going to open at the barber.
Okay, you don't have to mention where.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to get out of this is... how to flourish in business.
Yeah.
So you got a small business and you know, you can literally see yourself doing very well just because you have that personal touch and that you know, you have that personal connection with each and every one of your customers because you are saying independent stories. Lesejo, you feel that way about him. Simpio, you feel that way about him without Lesejo's presence. Mm. So that's interesting for me. It's as if
it's a relationship, bro. I think that's the biggest thing. There's only a handful of people that I trust more than my barber, which is deep because, like, the relationship is tight. We talk about everything in life, you know, the struggles, the success stories, where we're going into the future, you know, like
he's like a therapist, motivational speaker.
It's honestly like that.
One.
It's crazy, bro, because Like, why are you cutting your hair? Most people just keep quiet, but we talk about everything, and that's it's important, man.
It's
some form of therapy. Like, it's very, very powerful. And I think the most powerful thing is that he's not focusing on what he's doing. He shifted his focus from what he's doing to why he's doing it, which is something very powerful, because he's not really looking about him, thinking about himself, but thinking about his customer and the services that he's delivering, meeting the needs of his customer.
Wow, now that's profound. I actually met a gentleman probably about a month ago who he's into the hairdressing environment and barbershops and so on as well, and he's got a couple of them situated across Gauteng and maybe other parts of the country, and he's adopted something in his practice that he found from an American man who was the best salesperson in America, and he was selling cars, and he was literally, they said he's the best car salesperson ever, and what he was doing differently is, he after selling you a car, he found out what your address is, find out what your day of your birthday is, and so on. And he would write you a handwritten letter every single year on your birthday. It would be posted to you, and it would reach you exactly on your birthday. Even, you know, with even with the delays and all. And it, when you read it, you know, it's, hey, hello, Mr. Pedros. It's Fred here from Auto and General. It's been I'm hoping that you're still enjoying your ride. I know that it's your birthday today. I hope you're having a great day. If your car ever gives you any problems, you know who to call. Or even if you think of changing the car, come back to me as well, and we can make it happen. And every single year, every single one of his customers got a handwritten letter. And these guys now decided to adopt the same thing in their hairdressing. I mean, how much do you guys think that a hairdresser can make, like in a you know, one little barber shop, whatever you want to call in a year? So he had last year, he said he had a turnover of about, I think it was 3 million rand. And I'm thinking, what, for a barber? 3 million?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, how much hair you gotta cut, you know? But it's sometimes, even if the price is a little bit more, but it's all this personal attention that you know, that they feel, that people feel like they're getting, and then they end up being very loyal, because I mean, Lesego still drives to Pretoria to get his hair cut, and then he drives back. That is the craziest. You drive 40 kilometers to go
for a haircut.
Wow.
He doesn't even feel it that time. Like,
And you know what, when you're that good, when you're that good, you're that good. And I'm thinking, actually, we should say where he is in Pure, so the guy can get some more business, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then now we're going to be waiting like 2 hours.
No, we have veto. We just walk in. No.
I stopped going on Sundays, because I just know that it's a battle to go to the barbershop on Sundays.
Oh, wow.
Maybe we'll say it at the end of the show.
At the end of the show, we'll tell you guys where our barber is. He's the sickest guy in Pretoria.
Yeah.
Show him love, support him. It's good when really good black professionals, no matter what profession they're in, do their job well and they grow from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now we're actually going to be chatting to a lovely lady. She is an actress. She does a couple of other things as well. She's a very familiar face on the South African TV screens. And are we going to be talking about relationships? Mm. But now when it comes to relationships, what we're going to be mainly focusing on is social media and relationships. Now imagine that, you know, you always hear of people, you know, having relationships. Now they're on TV and so on. But then the relationship starts to go on to Instagram. Like if you remember the case of Casper Nyovest and Boiti. I mean, what was happening there is they would have this vacation. I think it was called a vacation, right?
Bro, before they even started dating, they asked each other out on social media. Like they made a whole video montage and everything. Yeah. It was crazy, bro. Like their relationship started on social media. Like it was real, man. Like it was, everybody was involved in their relationship, and it was actually quite interesting. Like I thought it was a publicity stunt at some stage, you know, because now you're sharing your relationship with your world. Is it really something that's intimate and real? Like those are the questions I have, bro. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So I mean, it's always quite a thing. Like you, and sometimes the way they end is also not really quite the most pleasant. But joining us today is a lovely lady. She's a presenter, an actress as well. Please welcome the one and only Mbalinkosi. Hello.
I was waiting for a drum roll.
Oh yeah,
I really was waiting for a drum roll.
If I had more hands, I was gonna.
There's six. Yeah, you got two pairs each.
Ah, it's tragic.
Why are you scared like this? Okay, wait.
No, I think we got something better than a drum roll.
Okay, this year.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mbalinkosi.
She really wants that drum roll.
No, I was like, nah, that did not hit the spot. I can see back then in your life, you're just like, I want to be a DJ one day, and one day I'm going to be boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Nah.
Tragic. You know what would have been better if we had vrpa.
Yes. Yeah, I see, at least there's something there.
I need a favor with the GCI. I'm just going to record it.
And then we'll put it on, right? Okay, cool.
Yes.
So we'll do that next time. Yeah, okay. We'll have vrpa ready for you. Like maybe like three vrpas for you. Like vrpa, vrpa, vrpa.
Yes.
Or you know what we'll do? We'll go to the Touch Convoy and we'll have them all do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll record everything.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then we'll put it on.
Even thank you.
You guys are foolish, man. I don't know how I survive with you guys. Like, a vrpa session. Are you guys thinking about this? Like, yo.
Beginning of every show, vrpa.
I like it, seriously.
I think you just made history.
I do that. I inspire people.
What an intro. What an intro.
So she not only inspires people on the day-to-day, she's also a presenter and actress as well. Tell us a bit about yourself just before we get into like some deep things.
Oh, wow. I honestly hate that question.
Oh, yeah?
I really do, because how do you like mesh everything you've done in like a minute? But yes, I do present. I'm on All Access Mzansi, which plays on DSTV on Thursdays, and then I've been on Rockville, I've been on Zabalaza, I'm now currently on The Queen. So yeah,
proper
cool
stuff. Yeah.
And then don't you want to know about entertainment?
Do your thing, don't
do my thing. Okay, yeah. I have a traveling agency me and my friend started this year.
Cool.
So that's doing very well. We're excited about that. And then I have a direct marketing company which has been running for 5 years. Cool.
You see, that's now the interesting things that on the surface people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Like when you just try Google, you wouldn't find out these other things.
I know.
And that's the cool thing, because now you're diversifying. Some people feel like, you know, actresses or actors have so much on their plate already, having to memorize all those scripts, and I can't even sleep at night, you know. I always used to sit there when I was little and watch Generations. I'm like, you see those bags under their eyes? They don't sleep. They just have to memorize lines the whole time.
Lines on lines, you know? On lines.
It's actually you're right in a sense, because if you a supporting lead or you lead on a show, you're never on set for less than 12 hours.
Yeah.
And most people, when they work, you work your 9-hour jobs.
Mm.
And I used to do it. I was in corporate before I actually did acting and presenting.
That's a very interesting.
Yes. I studied my business at Boston. Not Boston Media House. Boston Business.
The other one.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with Boston Media House, but people automatically assume that's what you did.
I like how you do with the accent. Boston
Media.
Hmm?
Boston. Sorry, would you like me to say I went to Boston?
There we go, very nice.
So it was actually, arts was something I always did part-time.
Yeah.
It was something I always did for fun. My mom made me go into an art school from 5. People think those are jokes, but no, she really did, because I was living in Pereira, and my mom did not want me on the streets at the time. So after school, I went straight to my art school, which I did my drama, I did my musical theater, I did my classical dance forms, because I was actually like a professional dancer at one point in my life.
Shout out.
And then after that, I did that all the way throughout high school. And then while I was studying, I was dancing for Tembi. So I did both.
Yeah.
So while I was dancing on stage, I'd get back. I've got an exam on Monday, and I did that. When I finished completing my studies, and I decided to then go corporate. So I did. I was in the corporate field for like a good couple of years. I worked at JTI. I've worked for SMLC Consulting. I worked for Kaiser Chiefs as a business intelligence consultant for a while.
Yeah.
And then only then I was like, yo, when I hit 25. There's something that happens to a girl when you hit 25.
Quarter life crisis.
Quarter life crisis is real. Quarter life super real. I was like, wait. I'm going to be 30 in 5 years. If I do not do this now, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And it's not like men. Men in the entertainment industry, for some reason, the older they get, the more people appreciate you. The more they feel like, yo, you've matured and you've grown.
Yeah.
You've been in the industry for 20 years. We want you. With women, it's the other way around. It's like, you can't be like 30 and like trying to be knock on doors, because people are like, where have you been and what have you been up to?
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, actually, I'm taking the plunge. Mm. I quit all my jobs.
So you just jumped.
I just jumped. And I went and auditioned for Big Brother. and I got it. Yeah. And the only reason I did it was just to get exposure. Yeah. Literally was for exposure. So that when I walk out and I go to an audition, I don't get the, sorry, we like you, you're talented, but there's this girl, man, her following's like here, and like she's like gonna bring us viewers, and you're good.
Yeah.
But she's gonna like make the show like watch, and you know, ARs and ratings and your guys.
No, you were very intentional, eh, yo?
No, I went there with a purpose.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why, even now, if you Google, you'll not see me naked.
Yeah.
I was never naked on that show. It's fine. So it turns fine. Has decided to show you something, but no.
Yeah.
I refuse to be naked on the show. I refuse to hook up with anyone on the show, because I knew what I was doing it for.
Yeah.
And I was there from day one till the last day. So.
O'Neill was on Big Brother.
Super fantastic. Yeah. I remember.
Were you?
O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is actually very interesting because, I mean, quarter life crisis at 25. You've done so much at 25, and people think that no, it's too late. You have this and that debt. So what did you do? Did you not have debt so that you could actually take that jump?
Lots of debt.
Yeah.
What lies is this? Mm. No. When okay, I had a really good job at Kaiser Chiefs. So I'm not gonna lie, I had a really good job. Mm-hmm. It's paid well. Had the job, like most people would be like, why would you quit? You're dumb. But for me, it was just more of, it was passion. It was passion. And at that time, I had three jobs, essentially, because I was doing Kaiser Chiefs from 9 to 5, and then I was reading the news at ANN7 from 6 to 12 p.m., sure. And then I was doing my reports for my company, which is Hot Beer Corporation, because it started long ago. It started, like, not even 5 years ago. Snap. It was 2010. Mm. So I already had the direct marketing company on the side. So it was three things I had to, like, manage and cope with. And then when I was taking the plunge, it was that thing of, okay, I'm going to leave Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah, I'm going to leave ANN7. Hotberry, Sharon's there, so she'll sort out Hotberry. But I literally just jumped. And I was like, whoop, we'll see. And when I got out, I was thrown in with debt because I was in there. I didn't think I was going to be there till the end. And because I was there, I was gone for 3 months. That's 3 months of rent. That's 3 months of catching up on stuff. That's all that. And then it was just one of those things where it was just auditions. But now it was a difference. Because when I went to an audition, it was, oh, you that girl wasn't being like, yeah. Okay, now they watched you with a different eye.
Mm.
You didn't walk in and they're like, okay, so who are you?
It's like you're walking with favor now.
Yeah,
like,
there was a little bit of favor, which helped. It really did help. I'm not going to lie to you. It really did help. And the one thing that stood out for me when I went to auditions, people were like, we really applaud you. You were the moral compass of the show.
Mm.
Okay, start your audition. So now you're already there, like, okay, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. But then there are those people who didn't like me afterwards because people are like, oh, you're too confident. You know everything. Oh, you think you know everything.
Mm.
But that's how life always is. I mean, some people really love you and some people always hate you, you know, like...
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And is that what keeps you going?
No, my family keeps me going.
All right,
I need to make sure that two houses are kept and therefore I need to make sure that I work.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just one of those things. And immediately after that was All Access. And immediately after that was The Queen. So it was cool. And that's when I decided, no, we want to do traveling. So we went into traveling and that's been going like uber well.
Mm. Shout out to you. I mean, travel Uber. Yeah, I
got that. You got that. You got that.
But I must applaud you. You are very focused and you're very intentional, and it's inspirational to hear, you know, a story like that. And I mean, to take that jump and bet on yourself in a time where, you know, everyone else thinks you're so comfortable already. You're so there, dog. Why you want to leave it for this thing that you call a passion? And it's interesting because I think a lot of people have something inside of them that's always burning. They want to do these other things. You watch TV and you're like, I think I could do so much better than that person. Please, can I get a chance? And I'm sure it's something that has been with you your entire life and you just never quite gave it a chance to, you know, to get onto the mic in a way.
Yes. Yeah. And, hundreds. Mm. I mean, I only started doing MC gigs after Big Brother.
Yeah.
Before then, I never MC'd before.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I had to do my first MC ever. Mm. I had to go on stage and announce that Boyz II Men is coming on stage. And I was MCing a Boyz II Men concert in Cape Town. And I was in Durban and channel called Mnet on some. Listen, somebody dropped out. Do you want to fly and MC? And I'm like, cool, yeah, let's do it. I've got this bad habit since I was a child. If I don't know how to do something, I know how to do it.
Yeah, but is that really a bad habit?
But you know why it is? Because sometimes it scares the crap out of me. Somebody will be like, listen, we need to do ABCD. Got you. then I go back and I said, like, okay, snap, how am I going to start and do this? And I'm so sure of how I speak, of what I can do.
Yeah.
But fine, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But
there's always a lesson to learn from that.
Yeah, so that was me. Yeah. Mali, would you like to MC to a crowd of 20,000 people in Cape Town? Have you done it before? Yes, sure, let's go. Yeah. I was in that plane crapping on myself. Like, what did I just put myself into? But I went there, I did it. And then that's when I realized, oh my gosh, I really enjoy doing this. And from there, so many MC gigs came after that.
So I want to ask a question. So basically, what I'm hearing is that before 25, you did the corporate thing. You thought that was your passion. And then your passion, did your passion change?
No.
At 25?
She was always passionate.
It was always a passion. I did it since I was young. It was something that was just always in
it's
me.
It's just that you went for the safe route in terms of...
No, being black, your mom does not understand why you want to dance. Hello, this job, why you want to go and be an actor, for what, for who, for the why. It does not make sense. Go to school. So even while I was dancing, I had to go to school.
Yeah.
Even if I had to say, Ma, I'm touring. We're going to go... dance in China and London, that's amazing, but on Tuesday you've got an exam, so here your books. And I just make sure you're gonna be there at school, make sure you pass. And if I got less than like 80%, like, what's wrong with you? My mom is very strict. I had to be like,
there are some similarities that I'm picking up. So with you and Celeste last week, right? So Celeste does like a million things, and she's like companies, and she's doing her MBA and all these things, and then you're here doing a million things and a million things. And me and Simpio are like, what? We will never go back to those dark days. Never. I was there.
But we also went through that journey. If you think about
we did go through that journey.
We went through a whole undergrad degree of industrial engineering.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You keep not saying it properly.
Okay.
What was it? Okay,
let me say it properly. A Bachelor of Engineering in Industrial and Systems Engineering.
There we go. Why did you guys not finish it?
Because we finished.
No, we did.
Oh, you did?
We
finished. Okay, no, then kudos to you.
No, we're professionals.
Kudos. Do you know why?
But we also jumped. So like,
it's not even about the jump. Yeah. You need it.
Yeah.
And I say this to every single person. It doesn't matter what your passion is. You need it. Because there comes a time when there is no work available.
Yeah.
And there comes a time where you have to do other things on the side to maintain your passion.
Exactly.
Like, for example, like me, a lot of people would say, why do you have companies? I still am passionate about marketing. I still am passionate about business. I want to do it. But however, there are months where that business is not doing well and I need to fund it.
Yeah.
I need to help out. But in the same token, there are months I'm not working in the industry and that company needs to fund me.
So it's always a safety net.
You need it. If you're in entertainment, I disagree with somebody who just does not want to have something on the side or something that's going to benefit you in the long run.
Yeah.
You got to build empires.
Yeah, there were people who asked me, why is P. Diddy so rich but he doesn't make music anymore? Why is Soulja Boy richer than, you know, Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole? And it's because of the businesses
on the side.
It's the
business. I mean, even if you think of like people like your Michael Jordans, they are in there before business. So yes, they were sportsmen.
Yeah.
Yes, they have their own things. But people have companies. You need to invest the money you make into something that's going to make you money one day. Passive income, my people.
And definitely, then your brand lives forever. You know, it lives beyond your lifetime because you are creating a legacy. And like you said, you're building that empire, you know?
If anything, if you're in the entertainment industry, your name is actually a business card.
Yeah.
It's easier for people to approach you to say, listen, I'm thinking of doing this. And if you have the same like minds, it's so much easier to jump onto something together and do something. And there are those people who will just approach you because they want to just talk to you and then find out you're in business and then they work with you.
Yeah.
Because they want to just be associated with you. So people gotta think smart.
Yeah.
So I typically, and Simpio knows this, I don't like creatives.
But he hangs around with me at the same time.
Yeah.
Why don't you like creatives?
Let me tell you. So there are creatives who are like, you know, like they studied. So like, for example, rappers. Right?
Yeah,
so we know a lot of rappers.
So clearly you don't like rappers, number one.
No, but rappers.
You're the first one that jumped to your head.
But thing about those guys is that if you have a meeting, right, and we say be on time.
Late.
My gosh, it's the simplest thing. Be on time. And the oaks are never on time. When they send you a proposal, it's something that like your nephew in grade 7 could have done. And then they say, like, that's dodgy stuff. And then you meet other... So usually I find that a lot of artists that, like, have, you know, a qualification background, you know, they've done work, you know, they can propose things better. Things go through a lot smoother. You're able to interact with them. That's what me as a corporate, sometimes Like, they'll give me a name, and I'll just be like, no, I'm not dealing with that person. All right, if I deal with you once, and you weren't professional, I'm not going back.
Very
it's
true.
Done.
Very honest.
It's true, and I think that's what varsity does, you know? It molds you into a better person. Varsity is not about the piece of paper that you get at the end, but rather the way of thinking that you develop and the experience that you gain, you know?
And your work ethic.
Yeah.
Work ethic. I was actually speaking to a friend of mine, Uma Khotso. She's also an actress.
Yeah.
And she was saying she went to like a drama class session, how to do things in the industry, and literally they were listing everything you need to succeed in the entertainment industry, and talent was the last thing. The last thing, because it's amazing. You can be the most talented person on earth, but if you're uncomfortable to work with, or people do not want to work around you, or you're just this headache of a person, and I've got a couple of people that come to mind, but we shall not mention them, but it's just one of those things where, like, you make it unpleasant to work with.
Yeah.
If you're unpleasant to work with, people do not want to work with you, no matter how talented you are. Mm. They can work with you to a certain extent, then comes to a point where they're like, you know what, actually, we don't need
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm done.
Think of people like what's that guy? The one who got fired from his own show. It was so sad.
Jeez.
No, an American. Spice. Nah, but I was actually taking an international.
Oh,
I was thinking Charlie Sheen.
Oh,
he was the producer of that show. He ran with that show for the longest time, but because he was always drunk, he was always high, and he was just always just not delivering. No matter how hilarious he was, no matter how much they love him, they kicked him off his own show.
Yeah.
So it's a lesson to learn, even people you so mentioned, but it's a lesson to learn that no matter how, like, you have a vision and you want to do your own thing, you must still learn that you're working with people.
Yeah.
It's not even just artists. Same thing happened to Steve Jobs, actually.
Exactly.
Mm. Kicked out of your own company.
So, out of everything that you've learned, from corporate to the entertainment industry to business, what's the greatest lesson that you've learned?
Corporates are the best people in the world. Tell Don't be scared.
Nah. For me, it's the same. In actual fact, because I've been in both sections and everything, for me, honestly, the one thing I've learned is persistence.
Mm.
Honestly speaking, because nothing ever happens in the beginning, never. And it's in both terms, in your own company, working in a corporate company, working for the entertainment industry, nothing happens for you immediately.
Yeah.
There are those people who can blow up now, but then if you sit there and you're just like, I've got this, 2 years down the line, you're broke, you're done and out. You have to keep pushing, always keep pushing, and you must never literally give up. It sounds so cliche, but
it's the truth, you know?
It is the truth.
Yeah.
Wow, super fantastic. Well, we did say that we are going to be talking about all sorts of things spicy around relationships and social media and things along those lines. So we're still going to talk about that. But right now we're just going to, you know, just catch our breaths in a little bit. And then after that, we're going to get straight into it.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, it's Tessa Tala, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show on CliffCentral.com.
Top five, my nigga. You know I body all these rappers, jokes aside, my nigga. Hey, but why you fucking up the vibe, my nigga?
Yo, Eagle, are you good?
I'm just high, my nigga. Hey.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, that was the drum roll she asked for.
But it was so light. Like, you guys must learn grand entrance opening. Like,
so you must
walk in with a situation. You must be the first thing people see.
Wait. Like, the best I could do right now with the current infrastructure is... Ladies and gentlemen, we went through all sorts of gun battlefields to give you the lady that won and only the best in the building.
Yes!
Yeah!
Darling girls, you're done! I love it!
That was a build-up.
Yeah, I appreciate the build-up.
Fantastic.
But there was still the vulpa missing at the end.
But we're going into electric cars soon, so the Vrpa.
Now we can still put the Vrpa in the electric car. We can just make
it'll be like a speaker just going Vrpa
the whole time.
It'll go.
Sounds like those people from Sarafina. They beat us. The whips went.
Oh, my soul. I love that movie. Do not do that. I'm going to start crying. Don't do that.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. Hey, we were talking about some interesting things off air. You told us that you had your first job at 15.
Yeah.
But how did you land this job?
Yo, guys, like literally, it's actually quite rough. I went through a section where I was like a naughty child, and my mom decided no more allowance. And because I've got so much pride, instead of saying sorry, I decided, I'm gonna get a job. You go and say sorry for who? So I went, I got into a taxi, I drove all the way to Eastgate with CVs.
Wow.
And I went there and said, this is what I can offer, this is what I can do. And my CV did not have my age on it because I know I was not legal to work.
Yeah.
You have to be at least 16. But then I went there and they gave me the job. And I did it for a whole 3 years. I was that girl in grade 10 making 5.5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I was balling at that time because that's money I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then by the time I finished like grade 11, I made enough money to take myself to Thailand.
Yes.
So when you people were busy in Matric Veg, said Devin, busy there. Oh my gosh, you're here in Devin. No. Bali was in Thailand for a month, living her best life.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with my boyfriend at the time.
Oh, right. Wait, at what age?
At 18.
18 with your boyfriend in Thailand.
That's like levels.
Relationship goals.
Like, oh my God.
What are you doing at 18 with your girl?
I'm done.
I was in Thailand and I moved out of home at 19.
Oh my God.
And Shaz and I had offered.
She had an American child upbringing. You know those Americans when you're watching Dr. Phil and they're like, I'm moving out. You're like, she's only 19.
Actually, that happened. That happened. Yeah. I said, I'm moving out. My mom laughed. And she said, Jasmine, but you can only move out if you have a bed, a fridge, and a TV. And I said, go.
Done.
No, I literally, that when she said that, I said, go. I said, okay, sharp. I went, saved my money. Instead of now buying shoes and going on holidays, I went and saved. And I bought a TV, I put in storage, I bought a fridge, I put in storage, I bought everything. And then literally one day, but shame, this was wrong with me, I found a place, paid rent 6 months up front. Yes, listen.
What?
Yes, listen, guys. 19.
At 19.
And then I said, Ma, this weekend I'm moving out. And she was laughing again. She's like, I told you, bed, TV, fridge. I was like, oh, I got bed, I got TV, I got fridge, I got couch, I got house, paid. Goodbye.
Done.
See people.
Peace.
Out. And I was out, and I was literally out, and that's when I started dancing for Tembi, and that's when life was good. Oh, no, I also did like Coca-Cola road shows, so I did like some road shows.
Wow.
I was living my best life then.
That's such a busy life, though.
It's not. Do you know why? Because for me, it sounds busy when you say it all in a summary. That's the thing I hate when people say, Mali, tell us about yourself in 2 minutes. Because, like, do you know how much I've actually done or how many things I've gone through in different stages of my life? And it sounds a lot, but you've probably done the same.
Yeah.
It's just you will see it as I studied, and while I was studying, I was probably doing X. And
there
are those people who DJed while they were studying.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
While they DJed, they got to travel. And when they traveled, they met this person. This person put them onto that. And that's how literally my life worked.
Mm.
And how I got into travels, because my best friend, literally, she studied travel and tourism.
Mm.
I'm the one who studied the business and marketing, so it like worked nicely to
just
be like,
fused, you know?
We've got the direct marketing company because of that. We've got the travel agent because of that, and we just lived with each other throughout the whole thing. So it was literally moments like that. And every time you meet somebody, that's another lesson. Sorry, I have to say this.
Yes. Mm.
Don't be afraid to say what you do
or
what is it you're passionate about. I'm telling you, people are scared of it. Every time I meet people, and I'm like, what is it you do? I'm studying.
That's not,
nobody tells you what they're studying, where they're planning to go, what's their passion while they're studying, what they're doing behind it. And that time I'm sitting there and maybe I'm looking for a DJ this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is it you do? I'm studying. Oh, okay, cool. Sharp.
And you walk away.
Done.
And you walk away. And before that's what I used to do. Mbali, what do you do? Oh, I study. Oh, yeah. And sometimes I dance. And I bumped into one person who said, don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't remember where, how, when they said, you must say what it is you do because you didn't tell me to do this. And I was actually looking for that 2 weeks ago and you could have made X. So now when I meet somebody and they're like, what is it you do? Oh, I present, I dance, I act, I can MC, I have a marketing company, I have a traveling agency. Oh, and I can also write songs. I used to be a lyricist. Yeah. I've got some nominated songs.
Mm.
I did. Yes, I've seen you.
Shout out. Yeah.
And you talk and people go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh yeah, it's because you don't say.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's like, oh no, let's go into studio. Awesome.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Mm.
So don't be afraid.
Wow, you sound like you were one of those really determined kids. I think your mom was like thinking that you're a handful.
Yes, I was a handful. No, yeah. I was a naughty child.
Yeah,
I jumped out of the windows. I disappeared.
Do you have any siblings?
I do, which is the problem. I was the middle child.
All right.
Now it all makes sense. Now it all makes sense.
The middle child always wants to off-ramp.
Middle child syndrome.
It's not even about that. Like, literally, my older sister was the perfect child.
Yeah.
So, what am I going to do? How are you going to...
You can't compete.
How are you going to compete with perfection?
Yeah.
How are you going to compete with perfection? And unfortunately, I wasn't born last, so I'm not going to be spoiled.
Yeah.
So, my sister was literally... Even now, she's a chartered accountant, married to a chartered accountant.
Hello.
Oh, and they live in their beautiful home with their beautiful child.
White
and
picket
pregnant.
Fence
literally,
home.
Literally. It is that. And she always got me in trouble. She was naughty, but she was not naughty in front of the parents.
All right.
She was smart about
She was smart about it. So, she was just straight and narrow, and she was in first team everything, and she was head girl, and was just all those things.
Yeah.
And then they put me in the same school. For me, it was just one of those things. I was like, you know what? I know I can, but I'm not trying to compete with you. I want to go that way.
Mm.
And unfortunately for me, I wasn't smart about my naughtiness. I was very...
You were just real about
I'm
it.
I'm out.
I guess.
I'm going to see you guys. And she'd be like, you're not smart. You must apologize. And they let you go out next to you. I'm like, go out through the window. I was small.
Yeah.
Went out through the window, go out, come back, get hit, didn't do nothing.
And this is in Berea.
No, I moved out of Berea when I was 11.
Okay.
So this was at Dowd Lanes, Edenvale side.
Yeah.
Eden, okay.
I was in the Vale.
Man.
Yeah.
I think if I was your older brother, I'd just get a headache.
I
just
don't have brothers.
Please.
He's just girls.
Take the devil. Take the devil. Take the devil out this child, Lord.
They tried.
Wait, I actually want to describe Wiz's description right here. We had a discussion earlier about bread and wet bread. You know,
this,
the way Wiz is describing, just take the devil out. It's like wet bread.
Like, what do you do with wet bread? What
I'll tell you what you see innovation. I'll tell you what you do with wet bread.
No, man.
You take that wet bread out, you put it in the sun, you let it dry, and then you put it in the toast and it becomes toast.
All right.
And then after that, it's not wet bread no more. You know, you have it there with a nice young salad. Listen.
Innovation 101.
Every situation, you can do something.
Innovation 101.
Make it happen.
What she's trying to say is that there's hope for those wet bread. Those wet bread people in your life.
Wiz has no hope for those people.
I was that child. I'm literally, I was that child. I was naughty.
You know, you're giving me a lot of relief because my little sister is a bit of a handful sometimes to my mom as well. And I mean, seeing you being so... Being so driven and, you know, you out here doing the most. And, you know, if I was your older brother now, I'd feel like my sister's in good hands. You know, her own hands are some good hands.
But
I don't think you were that person back in the day.
No, you know what? You must let your sister do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And you know why I'm saying that? It's even psychology 101. People who are adventurous and want to go and see things, it's because they've got a mind of exploring. So when you actually hinder them from exploring, you now actually... boxing them.
Yeah.
And that's why they freak out. And that's why you see them as your wet bread, as you want to say it, or they're unmanageable. And in actual fact, if you didn't put that wet bread in a scuff tin of water, it wouldn't be wet bread.
Yeah.
If you let that bread outside of that scuff tin, it was just going to be little drops that drizzled on the bread and it would have been a little bit of a situation of dampness. But because now you're boxing it on some, this is where you must be.
This is so deep.
You're now controlling her. Yeah. And that's how I felt. I literally, that's why I wanted to move out. I felt like you guys are trying to box me into what you guys want me to be because everybody in the family is a doctor or your lawyer or your this. And I said to them, I said this at 15 when I had this fight with my mom. I said, listen here, call me back when I'm 30. I'll probably be making more money than all of these people who are lawyers and doctors or whatever. So I will not apologize because I'm not wrong. I'll go get a job right now and watch me fend for myself. And that's what I did. And I went there and I did it. And because I was so driven and I wanted to do those things, I managed to do them and I succeeded.
Mm.
Let her be what she wants to be.
Let her flourish, Wizard.
Wow. Drop mic.
Wow.
As I said, I'm an inspiration to a lot of people.
Cool. So, I mean, in the last 5 minutes, look, we
so much for social media.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's done. It's done. We didn't get there.
It all started with, tell us about yourself.
It takes an hour.
It actually doesn't take an hour. It takes days.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Wow. Next time you must just say, it's just not possible for me to tell you everything.
I try though.
No, but this is really good. But now you had a relationship when you were 18. I don't know if that gentleman is still around even till today.
No, he's not. He doesn't speak to me at all.
You're tragic.
Tragic.
Did you guys have that whole social media
social media didn't exist
status?
Then. I'm not young, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not young. I'm 27. No. Back then, that was my first boyfriend. I dated him for 6 years.
Yeah.
He's the one I wrote the songs with. He was a producer. We wrote songs together, a lot of songs together.
Mm.
I broke up with him.
Yeah.
And I broke up with him because at that specific time, it sounds so weird, at 18, I felt he was hindering my growth. It sounds weird,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a dope reason, though. It's a dope reason.
So for I had a vision. I still do. I have a vision. I have goals. I know what I want to achieve, and I know I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And I felt he didn't have the same vision and goals as me. So I would push him, because whoever's with me, trust, it's going to be a situation.
Yeah.
So he literally, I was pushing him to do all these amazing things. I'd find people, be like, I got your network. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then he would get there and screw it up. And I'd
You know why? Because he was an artist.
No.
And
No, it's because I feel like he wasn't passionate about the same things as I was.
So it felt like you were carrying dead weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand 100%. That 100%.
And by the time it was the end of the relationship, and trust, it ended at 5 years. But yeah. That last year was that, oh, let's just make this work. And it was not working. And it literally felt like I was his mother. At 18, I felt like you're whining, you're nagging. And I met you at 14, right?
Yeah,
I met you. And when I met you, you had all these goals and visions and dreams. And when I met you, I was at my mom's.
So your whole high school career.
During that time, I've finished school. I've moved out of home. I've gotten a car. I've started working.
Yeah.
You're still at your sister's house. You still don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm pushing you work. You don't want to do it. So for me, it was listen, you're amazing. You literally are. I feel like we're soulmates. You're awesome. Mm. But we're hindering each other's growth. Maybe you're so used to my being near me that you're not going to grow. Mm. Let's leave and let's see what happens. And trust, we broke up. Fine, for 2 years, you had to get over it. But
for 2 years?
Jeez. No, I'm a great girlfriend, guys. I'm a really great girlfriend.
Yo, that's devastation right there. That is terrible. 2 years.
No. But right now, he's flourishing. He's got his own place. He's got his own car. He's got his own business. And after that, he won't speak to me because he said he doesn't want to speak to me because he feels like he'd want us to be together and I don't want that. But he said, honestly speaking, the best thing that ever happened was when we broke up. Mm. And it's the truth because he got to a point where it was like, Mbali, I want PlayStation games. Okay, Mbali, we'll buy you a PlayStation game. Oh, no, Mbali, I want an electric guitar. Mbali would buy you an electric
guitar.
That's
so deep,
So for me, it was a thing of like, get your life sorted and do it.
Wow. Yeah.
So there was no social media back then. Back then, it was walking in the park, sharing each other's Chelsea buns.
Hey.
Oh, I miss those days, man.
With
I miss those days.
Hey, you know, drinking choppy car, you know. And then if you're being that guy who's being sweet, you say, you have the icing, you know, you have the icing. So it was those days. The first time I ever felt my relationship I felt was in social media was my third boyfriend. That's when social media been big, it boomed.
And how did it influence your relationship?
I don't think it actually messed up anything, honestly speaking, because at the end of the day, for me, social media is just a platform to show what you want to express.
So you have to draw that line, right?
Nah. I heard you on some, it's not private, you're showing off. No. Mm. If I like chips, I'm going to show chips.
Okay.
If I love you, I'm going to show you. Mm. If you don't want to be seen, why not?
Okay.
Why don't you want to be seen? So that's another thing. But I can say, I do feel there are those people who overpunt things that aren't there. And some people might look at those things on social media and think, your life is perfect or your relationship is perfect, but it isn't. But also remember, social media is what I want you to see.
Okay.
It's not what I don't want you to see.
Profound. I've learned.
I want to say something.
You sound like you've been burnt by social media. Where were you and your girlfriend saw you in somebody's Snapchat to the back and got you in trouble?
Let's just not talk about it. Let's just not talk about it. That's a discussion for another day. Yo, that's going to be like 2 hour conversation. Like, yo, it's going to be deep.
I want to ask something. So you're actually the trend. You're the second person, the second girl I know from Perea, right? That has super exceeded the surroundings.
Mm.
The other is actually a corporate, hardcore corporate, and you're just the opposite. But I'm starting to see a trend. So clearly, there's something about
Iberia.
Iberia.
Yeah, no.
Sample size is not big enough.
Shout out to Weza.
No, it's true. No, it's true. Sample of two is not big enough.
Yeah, but this has absolutely been inspirational. Thank you so much for coming through. Wow, man. I think it's just amazing knowing that there's young women who are driven and who are so ambitious, and you're telling me that there's hope for those wet bread people.
Yes, there
so
is.
That's good. That's
don't
very
box
good.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't box them.
So it's the end of the show, and Lesego has an announcement to make. Lesego, where is Mike situated? Tell us.
Mike, the best barber in South Africa.
Yeah, no, the world.
He's amazing. He's brilliant.
Oh, wow.
He's situated what used to be Duncan, right?
Yeah. So it's Jan Shoba now, yeah.
It's Jan Shoba. He's situated in Jan Shoba. He's actually next door to Moloko, Club Moloko.
Yeah. Between Moloko and Big L's, that's where he is.
So you go there, you go to Mike, you get a haircut, then when you're done, you go to Moloko.
Yeah.
You just ask for producer Spokuzi, and then you go have a good time.
Oh, wow. Okay, guys. So it's been absolutely fantastic. Yet again, the shortest hour of the week, and it certainly comes to an end, just like that. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are what makes the show. You know, thank you very much for your support. And just like that, we are over and out. CliffCentral.com.